Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
I'm super excited to be up here sharing the word with you, church, and I'm kicking off a series. It's called Awakening. And I got to cherry pick an easy first topic because I'm going first, which is great. So I picked Awakening the Word. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Cameron. I'm one of the youth leaders here at the church. We got a great team. We got a great youth program. And today, just as a little side note, announcement, this is free. You don't have to pay for this. This just comes with the message. If you're here today and you have a child who's youth age, which for us is grade 6 to grade 12. So if you have a child who just graduated grade 5 and they're moving up in the room this morning, they get to come to youth, and we're excited to have them. So connect with one of us as leaders. I'm Cameron. My wife Jessica's over there. We also have Doug and Janine. They're keeners there in the front, so you know where they are. And just connect with us, and we would love to have your child join us in youth. And if they come to youth, they'll get a little bit of something like this sermon this morning, because I am a person who's very passionate about the Word of God. Not just what it says, but I want to know about it. And so when your kids come to youth group, they will be berated with questions. And I say them week after week after week, and so many of them don't know the answers, but that's okay. And I ask them questions like, how many books are in the Bible? How many books are in the Bible? 66. Excellent. And then, you know, most of them know that one. And then I'll ask them, how many books are in the New Testament? And everybody says 27, because we all know that, right, church? And then I say, how many books are in the Old Testament? And then you see them steam as they're like, 66 minus 27. And every time, one of them's like, 42! Like, no! 39. See, I ask them these questions and more. You know, what's the longest book of the Bible? No one's brave. Psalms! Some of you said it. You just weren't brave enough to shout it out. Psalms, it goes on and on and on. Psalms, it's crazy, right? I asked them, like, what does epistle mean? What does gospel mean? What does synoptic mean? What does Pentateuch mean? All these questions about the Bible. Who were the four major prophets? Things like that. And I constantly am hammering them over the head with that. Why? Because I think it's so important that we know this word, church. This is not just a book. The world might think this is dead. The world might think this is inactive. The world might think this isn't true. But we know different. This is life. This is the flesh of Jesus in word form, on ink and in paper for us. We are supposed to hold this in the highest esteem. And yet, I don't know about you, but sometimes for me, if you ask me, hey, Cam, where's your Bible? On any given day, I might be on my nightstand, it might be on my desk, my kids might have drawn a smiley face on Psalm 47. One of those things is true. So church, I think we need to wake up and start holding this word where it's supposed to be held. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Isn't that amazing? Let's pray. God, as we spend time in your word today, I pray that you would reveal to each and every one of us more of your word, your promise, your truth for us. I pray that we would leave this place encouraged to read your word and study it for all that it's worth, and that each one of us would be changed today because of what you've done through us. In your name, amen. So, I'm kicking off this series called Awakening. So, you know, like, you look up the definition as you're, you know, going to go through something. So I looked up the definition of awakening, and let me tell you, if you Google it, there's like 4,326 different definitions of awakening. It's crazy. So I got to cherry pick the definition that perfectly fit my sermon, and I chose for the definition for awakening, arousing from inactivity. Arousing from inactivity. And I think, like I said, that so many of us, our Bible reading lives are inactive. And it's easy in the hustle and bustle of today's society with everything going on to think, I'll read my Bible tomorrow. I'll read my Bible tonight. I'll read my Bible on Sunday. I'll read my Bible when I'm retired. I'll read my Bible when I'm dead. You know, we can get caught in those thoughts. I mean, we live in this society where another episode's coming on in 20 seconds, right? Or less. And I mean, we have to know, will they, won't they, are they going, like, what's going to happen? There's no chance I can't finish this series tonight, so I'll read my Bible tomorrow. And what happens? I don't know about you, but if I'm being honest, it becomes a day, a week, sometimes a month in between opening up this life-giving word. And that's sad, and I know I need to change. So there's no condemnation here because I know where I fall short. But I think, church, that I'm here to encourage you. God put on my heart to speak to you. We need to increase our Bible activity. That's like we need to increase our giving activity, like Pastor Doug said. You know, a few weeks ago, Pastor Doug was preaching and he said this phrase. It was awesome and it hit me right where I was at. And I think you should copyright it and charge 25 cents every time someone says it. He said, there is a verse for that. There is a verse for that. Whatever you're going through, whatever's going on in your life, whatever you brought through this door, whatever's going on, there is a verse for that. Your hurt, your pain, your sorrow, your worry, your past. There's a verse for that. What do I owe you, a buck? There is a verse for that in your life. But we need to go into this word. We need to dig through it and read it for all that it's worth to discover that verse for us. So often, rather than discover that verse, rather than dig into the word, we listen to somebody, we listen to the radio, we talk, complain to people at work, you know, like my wife this, my wife that. And that's where we're getting our information from, not from the word, the real source. Psalm 119:97 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. It is on my mind all day. I think about it all the time." How many of us can say that? That's God's word, that we're thinking about it all the time. I could say that about hockey. I mean, July 1st, I was on my phone every 14 seconds checking for a free agent signing. Like, hockey's on my mind a lot. You can ask my wife. It's pretty sad. But is the Bible on my mind all day? The Word of God, His promises? Those of you who know Jessica and I know that in our relationship, she is the extreme one. And like, I love my bubble. It's safe in my bubble. It's warm in my bubble. It's really nice in my bubble. You should try it sometime. But don't, because then you join me in my bubble. Jess has a serious fear of missing out. Like, total FOMO, as we call it. You know, like, she just wants to experience. She wants to know. She wants to try. She wants to do. I have whatever the opposite of that. Like, when I miss out on something, I'm like, praise God. Yes, I missed out. This is awesome. She's way more extreme and way more brave than I am. And when she was in Bible college, she had this opportunity to go on a mission trip to a bunch of different countries in Asia. I don't even know how many. And so, of course, she said yes, which I thought was crazy because I was like, I don't want you to go for 2 months. Like, stay here with me in my bubble. And so she went. She left. And she got to go to China. And as many of you know, China is a country that's very restrictive, especially about the Word of God and about sharing your faith. And so Jess went, and she got some Bibles, and she was at this youth event, and there was like, I don't even know how many hundreds of kids there. It was this big event, and this woman walks up to her, who's a government worker, like works for the government of China. This woman walks up to Jess, and she says, "Are you a Christian?" And I, if I'm being honest, would have stayed in my bubble and just probably ignored her and walked away. But Jess, in her boldness, she said, "Yes, I am a Christian." And this woman said, "Thank the Lord. I just became a Christian, but I don't have a Bible." Jess said, "It's just so happens that I got a Bible." So they picked this spot where they were going to meet. And Jessica takes the Bible, rides 3 trains, and hires a bike to go to this literal back alley in this city in China. Like, talk about fear of missing out. She's in this back alley in this place. And she's waiting for this woman, and people are coming by, and the clock ticks by, and this woman's late, and Jess is standing there, and she's like, "God, what should I do?" And she felt like she was supposed to wait. Sure enough, this woman shows up, Jess gives her the Bible, and they walk away, and they never see each other again. But a few years later, Jess got an email from this woman and from her husband, who also became a Christian. And the email said that they sleep with the Bible that Jess gave them underneath the pillow on their bed because they don't want to let it far from them. We live in a society where we can go buy a Bible at Chapters, and yet half the time I don't know where it is. Church, I think that we need to get to the point where the Word of God is living and active in our lives. And you have to be reading it for that to be true. You can't, even hearing it is great. And I think listening to sermons and stuff like that is great. If you're going to listen to this sermon, I highly recommend it. It has like rewatch value like crazy. But church, we need to be in the Word, sitting there with this in front of you, opening the pages and studying it. And I really recommend have a pen and a paper beside you. There's so much in here, church. We need to take advantage of that. And I want to spend, thank you. Woohoo. I want to spend like the rest of our time. Hopefully we got a long time together. I don't know. I can't see the clock up there. We're good? Okay. Let's preach for 2 hours. I got a lot of material. I want to talk about an Old Testament king. And he's kind of an obscure king. There's only actually 2 chapters in the Bible about him. But he was a man who was changed drastically by the Word of God. And I think there's a lot we can learn from him this morning. This king, his name was Josiah. And we're going to jump through these 2 chapters. We don't actually have time to read through the whole thing today. But I'm going to jump through and highlight a few things and show you what Josiah did in regards to the Word of God. So the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, that Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah, just in case you were wondering. You know, you want a good name for your kid. Of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father. And he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Now, when this is how a chapter of the Bible opens, talking about a man who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, we should pay attention, church. So in the days of Josiah, the Bible says, you know, he talked about how he was 8 years old when he became king. And so he was reigning with his mom. And the Bible talks about Josiah's father and his grandfather as 2 of the worst kings that ever reigned in Judah. And they allowed in God's temple that was built for him by Solomon, they allowed idols and idol worship to come into the temple. They allowed sacrifices of animals that were forbidden in the Old Testament. They allowed this in the names of all these other gods because they brought idols into the land. And for the first part of his reign, Josiah, he just keeps with the status quo, keeps doing what his father was doing, and the sacrifices continue. And there comes this day when there needs to be a renovation on the temple. And it sounds like a good thing to do a renovation of the temple, like a foyer refresh. But remember, the temple is not being used for its purpose in this time. So Josiah sends his servant to go tell the priest, hey, we need some money. We're going to refresh the foyer of the temple. Let's do this. And Hilkiah, as he's digging around, finding funds, he finds this book. And he reads this book. And then he gives it to the servant of the king, and he says, hey, I got the money, but I've also got this book. And so the servant of the king, whose name is Shaphan, he reads the book, and he comes to the king. And so we pick up our story in verse 10. It says, then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah the priest gave me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. This Hebrew word read, it like means to like digest the book. So he didn't just like spout it all out speed reading like, you know, I can try and do. They read it for all that it was worth. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. This book of the law, scholars say that they're talking about based on the Hebrew word, it probably means Deuteronomy. We're talking about the 34 chapters of Deuteronomy. When was the last time you were sitting at home, drinking your coffee, reading your Bible, and you opened to Deuteronomy chapter 2 and tore your clothes? It's never personally happened to me. But Josiah, he hears the words of the law and instantly he mourns his sin and Israel's sin. Today, I got kind of 3 major points I want to share with you. So if you're taking notes, this is point number 1. The Word of God causes us to respond. You cannot read this word like you read like the latest sci-fi novel or like whatever else is popular these days. I don't know what you people read, but you cannot read this book like that. If you read this and you're like, oh, that was a good read. And you put it down. You're like, man, I didn't see that coming. Like, God won. Wow. And you walk away. You're doing it wrong. Okay? We are supposed to read this word and respond to it. This is Jesus speaking to us. And Josiah here, he responds in mourning. I think if we're honest, sometimes we need to respond in mourning too. He mourned his sin and the sin of his father and his grandfather before him and his people. He read this word. He tore his clothes because he realized the weight of his sin. When I read the Bible, especially the Gospels, for me, the weight of my sin, wow. I put Jesus on that tree. That should cause us to mourn, church. But we're not called to stay there either, because the word of God also calls us to worship. Worship him. Thanksgiving. Thank him for all that he's done. The word of God causes us to give and to serve. The word of God causes us to respond, church. We should be opening these pages and responding to what it says. This is not just a novel. This is life. So Josiah, he tears his clothes. He mourns. He put ash on his face. He's crying. He's weeping. And what he does next is awesome. In verse 13, Josiah says, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people and for all of Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." I love what Josiah does. Not only does he respond in mourning, but then he communicates with God. Our point number two is the word of God causes us to communicate. See, after you read this, it isn't just enough to respond and tear your clothes and mourn or Thanksgiving or whatever it is that you're doing. After we read this, we are supposed to communicate with God. Ask him the question, what should I do? What should I do about this thing that I've written, this parable, this story? What should I do? Throughout the Old Testament especially, there's this term, inquire of the Lord, that is seen here. And for those of you keeners, you'll remember that last time I preached a little bit about it. Inquire of the Lord. And I think it's so important because that's what we're supposed to do. Josiah lived in a time when he had to send a servant to go talk to a prophet about what God wanted him to do. We have we don't even have dial-up. We have 7G straight connection to God, to the throne room. There's no delay. There's no stop. There's no blockage. We can sit right now. You can ignore me and talk to God right now. Isn't that amazing, church? Isn't that incredible? We have direct access to God, and yet so often it's like, another episode's coming on. That video game's looking really tempting. What's going to happen in this hockey game? Which, you know, was really boring between St. Louis and Boston. But anyways, it's terrible. We should inquire of God. We should communicate with God. We should not read this word and just go, again, that's great. We should read and go, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond to what I'm reading? And Josiah, he doesn't stop there. He does this really amazing thing. You see, the prophet says to the servant of Josiah, he says, because of your repentance, because of your response to this book, God's wrath is going to skip a generation. How cool is that? Because of his faithfulness. And Josiah, he hears this word and he turns around. He does this amazing thing. He starts to grab every idol and every false god and every place of worship and every high place, and he starts to destroy it and burn to the ground, because there is only one God and there is only one place that they could worship at this time, and that was at the temple. And so Josiah goes through all the land and he just keeps destroying all these places that were built by his father and his grandfather. He destroys their legacy. And it says in verse 19, it says, "And Josiah removed all the shrines also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made, provoking the Lord to anger. He did to them according to all that he had done at Bethel." See, it's kind of subtle, but Josiah, we read in our first verse, he was the king of where? Judah. I'll give you the answer. Don't worry about it. This isn't youth, so you're good. He was the king of Judah. But as he's destroying all these high places and all these places of worship, he doesn't just stop there. He goes, our verse says, into Israel, a neighboring country. And then he destroys all their high places too. That's how passionate Josiah was about the word of God. He saw these abominations. He went into his neighbor's yard and he destroyed them. I'm not telling you to go do that to your neighbor's yard. I'm just saying, isn't that an amazing response to the word of God? And it says he did to them according to all that he had done at Bethel. And what he did at Bethel was super cool. You see, Bethel was this place of worship, a really important place in the Old Testament in the land of Judah. And it was the place where it was the worst. They were sacrificing children to false gods at Bethel in this time. And so when Josiah arrived, he took everything that was there, the stone and the things of bronze and of gold and the things made of wood. He put them all in a pile, the Bible says, and he burnt it. But furthermore, when he was done burning it, he took all the ash and he had them scoop up all the ash and he burnt it again. He was so passionate, he had to destroy it twice. I think there are things in our life, church, that we should be passionate enough to destroy twice. See, the word of God causes us to respond. The word of God causes us to communicate. And the word of God causes us to act. In our lives, church, there are some things that we all need to change. See, maybe like Josiah, you need to remove something in your life. Jesus talks about how it's better to gouge out your right eye than to live in sin. Some of us need to gouge something. I don't know what you brought in with you today. I don't know what you came in here carrying, but sometimes we need to remove something violently from our life. Some things need to change. When we remove something from our life, we allow room for God to act where that thing was taken up. Maybe for me that's hockey, just saying. I'm surprised my wife didn't say amen. Sometimes, church, we need to add something. Maybe you're here today and my words are convicting you. It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's time for you to open up your Bible, find wherever it is, dust it off, and start reading. And make time to read it. I mean, you know, if someone says, hey, you want to hang out at 7? You say, no, I can't. I'm reading my Bible. Maybe it's time you need to add something to your life. And sometimes we just need to change or tweak something. You know, I think one problem we get into as Christians is we can get into this state where we're constantly looking to recreate something we had before. Like, I had the best Bible study 7 years ago, or I was just so close with God in that time in my life. And we can try to recreate stuff that already happened. But we need to change that thinking, church, because God isn't a God of the old. He's a God of the new, and he has something new for us and something that he knew that he wants for us. Church, we have got to stop chasing what was and start chasing what will be. And I think that if we respond like Josiah responded to the word of God, if we respond, if we communicate, if we act, our lives would change, church. And to end our story, it says in verse 24 and 25, it says, moreover, Josiah put away the mediums and the necromancers and the household gods and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might establish the word of the law that were written in the book of Hilkiah the priest, found in the house of the Lord. Before him, there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. Isn't that amazing, church? Isn't that something I want to be said about me? You know, that I turned away from all those things, that there was no, that I went after God with all my heart. And if you want to do that today, church, you need to be in this word. It's impossible to do it without the word of God. I encourage you, I implore you to go home today. And I truly believe that if we focus more on this, like the psalmist said, meditate on day and night. If we talk about it with our children and with our friends and with our wives, our lives would change. The story of Josiah really resonates with me because I see a lot of parallel in his life with mine. Not that I was a king or that I lived in the Old Testament, but I wasn't born in a Christian house. I was, you know, not raised to believe, not raised to know Christ. And when I became a teenager, a friend invited me to this event, and I kind of felt that Jesus was calling me. And when I came home, I was like, whew, dodged a bullet, almost joined a cult. Like, they were going to try and take my money. And uh, I the feelings that I had, I put away to the side, and I decided that, you know, I don't want to serve God. I want to sleep in on Sundays. Like, this is not for me. And more I found this nagging at my soul that, like, this is true. This is real. And I went to a man with a ton of wisdom, and I said to him, you know, I don't want to believe, but I feel like I have to. And he said to me that if you read this for all that it's worth, and you read it, and you take in everything that's in here, and you believe it to be true, and if you find that it's true and it's real and that this is the foundation, then you have to believe. And if you read this and you discover that's not true, then it's worthless and you should sleep in on Sunday. And so I started to read the Bible, and I started to read it a lot. And I would find these points that I'd be like, ha ha, there's no way this could be true. And I would go to this man and I would like, ha, here's my point. And he'd tell me truth. And he'd tell me about life. And he'd show me in the Word of God how this stuff was real and true. And I'd be like, no, I don't want to believe. And more I read, the more and more I realized this was true and that I had to respond. You have to respond to this word, church. This is not something you can be neutral about or on the fence about. Either Jesus Christ died for you and died for your sins, or he didn't. And if he did, we can have eternity with him, and we can have hope in him, and we can have life in him. And if he didn't, then we're cow food. Like, it's pretty simple. This is either true or it isn't in its entirety. We can't cherry pick. We can't just ignore the Old Testament because we don't like it as much and it's hard to understand. And I would challenge you, church, if there's something you don't understand, if there's something that bothers you, there are so many wise people in this church. So many people you can go to and ask a question of them, and they'll know the answer, or they'll know where to find it. Don't let your questions distract you from the truth. I did that for so long, and I wonder what I could have accomplished if I didn't, if I had spent that time focused on Christ instead of focused on all my questions. And the crazy thing is that despite my questions, I didn't get any answers until I started looking where the truth is. This is where the answers lie, church, in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work." I want to be equipped for every good work. Do you, church? Because if you do, there's one way, and it's through this. And through this word, we respond, we pray, we communicate, we get to know Jesus and who he is. If you're here today, church, and your Bible is dusty, don't feel condemnation. Don't worry about the past. Focus on the future. You can have an active Bible reading life moving forward. If you're here today, your Bible reading's great, you're active, you're in the Word, awesome. Keep searching and find someone you can help, someone you can mentor and show them everything about this verse. You know, show them how to teach them and correct them and train them. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, like I didn't know Jesus, I'm going to encourage you to make a step that'll change your life. When I first went to church and they said, hey, you can accept Jesus into your heart, I thought there would be this ritual. I'd have to like eat something or chant something or like smoke incense or something. I didn't know what was going to happen. We're not going to do that to you today. Today. Next week, though, if you show up next week, woo! Church, if you want to know Jesus, it's so easy, it's almost scary. Because all you have to do is accept him into your heart. And if you're here and you want to know this Savior that I know, I promise you it'll be the best decision you ever make. So all I'm going to do is say a prayer. And at the end, if that's you and you want to accept Jesus, you're just going to raise your hand. It's an outward sign of an inward change. And after, you're going to go to the back, talk to Victor back there. Hi, Victor. And he's going to tell you your next steps. Church, if we read this for all that it's worth, it'll change how we do everything. How we work, our marriage, our parenting, our life, how we give. I implore you, read this for all that is worth today. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I thank you that you died on a cross for our sin, that you sent your Son, Jesus. I thank you that he was perfect. He lived the perfect life so that we don't have to. And he carried all that weight upon him. Father, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to see and hear all you have for us. that each one of us would leave this place encouraged to get into the Word, to discover what it has for them. There is a verse for that. There goes another quarter. Jesus, you have a verse for us this morning. God, you have something for us today. We don't need to wait. We don't need to go somewhere. We don't even need to go to the temple because you are here right now. I pray that each one of us would take the opportunity, the joy that we have to live in this country where we can read the Word, and we would do it. We would apply it, and we would act on it. God, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, that doesn't know your forgiveness, your love, your mercy, your burden is light, I pray you would send your Spirit to them right now. Help them to make the decision that will change the rest of their life. And if that's you today and you want to accept Jesus for the first time in your heart, I'd ask you just quickly to raise your hand. Raise your hand so we can see it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Jesus, we ask all this in your name. We thank you for all that you've done. And I pray each one of us would leave this place encouraged to do your work.